Delaware State of the Arts. My name is Terrence Van, and I am joined today by a Wilmington staple, an incredible artist in her own right, an organizer, and has brought some of the biggest names to our city. I have Miss Tina Betts, who is also the Director of Cultural Affairs in Wilmington. Good morning. I have you nice and early here today. It's an absolute blessing to be speaking with you. Can you give our listeners a little bit of a backstory? I know you have, it's so rich, but you know, if you could just paint a little tapestry for our listeners about, you know, what you do, what you have done, just to kind of get us started with a little intro.
Well, thank you, Terrence. First of all, thank you so much for inviting me to be on with you this morning. And you used the word staple, and it's like, does that mean old? I don't know, but I know
that means classic. that means timeless.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you. That's the spin that I would prefer to go with. Then, yeah, I've been bouncing around, you know, advocating for the arts and having my fingers in the creative sector pot for more than three decades, mostly in government and with nonprofits, and have been involved with the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival since the inception, since before it was the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. Wow. We called it Jazzin' on the Square. It was just a multi-day downtown musical event that has now, you know, grown to be one of the most respected jazz festivals in the world, quite honestly. You know, as part of co-founding Theater N, after there had not been a movie house in downtown Wilmington, again, for decades. Bev Zimmerman and I co-founded Theater N a few years ago. A partner and I, Rich Newman, who now lives in Colorado, brought Fringe Wilmington to the city, which I would love to do again, by the way. It was just an incredibly unique event that brought people from all over the region into Wilmington. Would love to do that again. And, you know, just many, many things. So Wilmington Children's Chorus was a baby of mine and David Christopher, you know, a little bit more than 20 years ago now. And of course, that is an organization that is out on its own, you know, found its legs, and it's just doing incredible things around the city with, you know, more than 500 young people around the city in their neighborhood choirs going from the, you know, the hilltop over to the northeast area and just reaching out to kids and giving them the highest level of musical education that's available free to children in Wilmington. And of course that, you know, that organization has helped at least fill a little bit of the hole that is left by the arts being removed, you know, from public schools in large part. So, you know, I just had my fingers in the pot. You know, whenever there's something, you know, that look and there seems to be a blank canvas, you know, I try to, you know, form partnerships that help, you know, make that canvas come alive. So that's what I like to do.
Oh, that is wonderful. That's wonderful to hear. And I am one of those youth that have been affected by, you know, all these, you know, amazing programs in the city. And, you know, it's awesome to be able to talk to you and dive deeper on this because, you know, I can speak from personal, you know, experience, you know, going to Cab Calloway. And, you know, I got the privilege to play in the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival, and it was a life-changing experience. So there are so many lives that have been changed by your work and your impact. You're also an artist yourself. You know, as a classically trained singer, you've performed in so many different venues. And how do you feel, you know, being in both spaces and, you know, having an artist perspective and bringing it into government work?
You know, a lot of my colleagues have that, you know, have had their lives on both sides of that fence. And it's a valuable experience to be a part of, you know, when you're doing sort of the coordinating and that side, not, you know, not practicing at the art, it makes a difference when you have been on the other side and you appreciate the type of environment that is conducive to artists bringing the best, you know, that they have to the table. It is really important when you're looking at it, not through the creative lens. And I think that when you're an artist, you bring your creative lens to everything that you do, to everything that you do. You know, I you know, even when I'm doing, I'm looking at budgets, for example, this is may seem a little bit, you know, out in left field. But, you know, one of the things I look at is how much of that money is going toward administrative and all of those sort of things, or how much of it is really supporting the art and the artist. I mean, that you notice those sorts of things. I mean, I've sat on a couple of boards where I've made that observation. You know, gosh, that looks really heavy on the administrative side. I mean, so, and I think that, you know, being an artist helps you see that. You know, as I said, there are a lot of my colleagues who bring that same skill set to the table. And that's, you know, that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. I wish everyone could take almost like a creativity course, you know, because even if you're not an artist, having that extra lens of perspective goes a long way. And I think everyone benefits from it, especially in spaces where creativity isn't, which, you know, government is notoriously not the most creative place.
Fortunately, when you have good leadership, you know, we have enjoyed that for a while. I mean, with our current mayor, Mike Brzezinski. I mean, I worked 13 years for Jim Baker, and, you know, both of those experiences, my 13 years with Mayor Baker, and, you know, I've been back and working with Mayor Brzezinski since 2017. Both of those experiences have been really supportive of what it is that, you know, I try to do. I mean, I don't have to do a lot of battling and a lot of explaining. And I think that comes from trust, but I also think it comes from an understanding of, you know, the value of the arts. I mean, I was just over at our newest project, which I hope we have a chance to talk about a lot today, the Urban Artists Exchange, where we've converted stables into artist studios and art making studios and art teaching studios and a new outdoor amphitheater. I was just over there on the east side of Wilmington with Mayor Brzezinski yesterday. And he is so excited and so supportive. And I want it to be the best, you know, that it can be. So, you know, and that's really very special. I mean, I have peers around the country who don't have that luxury. You know, they have to battle for, you know, to make the case. And that can be exhausting. That can be exhausting.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I feel really fortunate that, you know, even though I work in government, that I have enjoyed the support, you know, the leaders that I've worked with and worked for.
I want to take a minute to remind our listeners that you are tuned into News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for Delaware State of the Arts. And this most recent project, how did it come about? You mentioned you wanted to dive a little bit deeper. Let's talk about what is the project? Where is it now? Where do you see it in the future? The impact that it can make. I feel like it's a tremendous blessing for the community.
It is. It's a huge asset. And I like to give a big nod to Dolores and Barbara Washam, who for years operated the Urban Environmental Center on that same site. I mean, they were stewards of that site for almost two decades. Had it not been for their commitment to that 1 acre piece of land, Lord knows what it would have been. Applause to Barbara and Miss Dolores Washam, the Washam sisters. And the project has gone from the Washam sisters primarily operating one building, and the building now is currently occupied by the Urban Bike Project, and they are great partners on this site. And there were a bank of stables, and back I would say in maybe about 2010 or so, I had a conversation with the Washam sisters and talked about, you know, what their vision had been for the entire sites. And they always had a vision to convert to stables and to do mostly environmental projects on that 1 acre piece of land. So when they decided that they wanted to hang up their spurs and move on to do other things, the site was returned back to the city of Wilmington. So I started working with other partners within city government at the time, as I said, about 2010, to come up with an idea of converting the stables into artist studios. We did a design of all of those components. And then I left the city when Mayor Williams came into his administration came into being. I left the city. The Urban Bike Project needed a home and approached Mayor Williams about coming into that space where we had envisioned a Black Box Theater. And so Mayor Williams and the Urban Bike Project struck a deal, and the Urban Bike Project is there. And as I said, they are great partners. They are really good to have on the site. They added just another dimension to what it is that we're doing. So then Mayor Williams, after his administration, Mayor Pizzicchi came in. And this idea of, you know, converting the stables into artist studios and the amphitheater and all that stuff was still hanging in the back of my mind. And when I was fortunate enough to have Mayor Pizzicchi ask me to come back on board, I approached him, Chief of Staff Tanya Washington, who worked for the Baker administration. And I said, remember this idea, you know, this, you know, do you think this would be great? It took a little bit of convincing because, you know, when you saw that the stables, they were just in such total disrepair. And the site was overgrown, and it was just, I mean, it was just a big, you know, a huge undertaking. It really was. But, you know, I showed up the designs that we had and, you know, revised the vision a little bit because now we had an Urban Bike Project. We didn't have that building for Black Box Theater. And then we were just off and running, Terrence. So since 2017, the city has invested heavily in both human power and capital into this project. The Welfare Foundation has came on board, the Longwood Foundation, Delaware Community Foundation, the state of Delaware. So, you know, all of these partners. So the stables are done almost, except we want to HVAC them now. So, you know, so we're going, so we're asking, you know, people for funding to help us do that so we can do year-round programming. The amphitheater platform or performance space, that is totally done. It has this really nice green room. It's huge, so it can even accommodate artists like the Delaware Symphony Orchestra, for example, you know, fully accommodate that. And then we can also go down to smaller ensembles, you know. So, you know, that's done. And this morning, I just got photos of trees being delivered for the to make it an urban green space. And then we were also very fortunate to be able to work with the city's public works department because they had a very high interest in mitigating the impact of water runoff into the Brandywine and flooding in that area of town. So in addition to everything that you see that people will see obviously above ground, there is a lot of infrastructure underground of storm water management that will have an impact, a ripple effect for a few miles out from the site to help you know lessen the impact of flooding in that area. So we have storm water management, bilus wells, and little rain gardens, and now a big amphitheater and the stables, trees being delivered. This project is such a huge asset for the entire city of Wilmington, but especially for the east side of Wilmington, which is, you know, an historic neighborhood in the city of Wilmington. And it's with the walking distance of, you know, east side residents, the northeast area, you know, just a lot of communities will be able to come enjoy what it is that we present there, which we plan to be robust. It's not, we don't want to just build it and go, well, isn't that pretty? You know, we build it because we want to make sure that it is activated as much as possible, you know, where there's just programming happening all of the time with the community. And I want to mention the vision is for it to be free to the community. Oh, wow. We do not want to do ticketed events. So whatever we do, we will go out, we'll beat the bushes to raise money so that there is zero barriers to accessibility to what it is that we're doing, and everything that we do also will be high quality artistically. So I know that was a lot, but it's a lot to, you know, I'm just so excited about what it is that, you know, that we're doing there, you know, all of the possibilities that it brings.
Oh, it sounds so exciting. I mean, it sounds fully transformational and 180 degrees of just change. I've driven by that area many times, so I know exactly where you're talking about, and I know that just elevates you know, everything in that area. And it's also great for the listeners to hear how much goes into a project like this. I think folks, they'll be there enjoying it, but they might not ever see all of that, you know, just organization that went into, I mean, just hearing about the storm drain and just all that had to happen to collaborate and make that possible. It's remarkable. And I think the city is going to appreciate that for many years. And now moving into Clifford Brown coming into next month. And I'm sure that's kind of a massive, you know, undertaking in its own right. Every year, annual just huge party for the city. And, you know, some of the best musicians in the world are right in Wilmington for three nights. Is it four nights?
Four nights. Through Saturday, yeah. And for those with the stamina, we do late night jams from 10 o'clock at night after the festival ends in Ronnie Square until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Those are turning into, I had the honor to sit in one when I was, I used to play trombone. And you may know my friend Vernon James.
Yeah,
so we grew up together, and let me tell you, for people listening, these are you can't miss. These are campus events. I mean, you get to be right there with the musicians. It's jamming in there. I mean,
it is jamming. And every now and then, and you never know when this may happen, you have an artist who just played that evening at the festival stop by. I mean, it just, you know, that's happened where they just, you know, drop in because they're staying at the Hotel DuPont or another hotel nearby. And they'll every now and then just drop in. So that's always a possible surprise. But yeah, they're great. They're great.
Yes. And I mean, the acts, I've got to see Chick Corea. I've got to shake the hands of, I don't think he was able to play, but Freddie Hubbard was there, and I got to shake his hand. I mean, so the Clifford Brown Jazz Fest, it is just, it's almost indescribable what it means to Wilmington. And so you've been there from the beginning before, like you said, before it was even Clifford Brown. So
you're
now at this point, 36 years, how does that feel?
Feels great. First of all, it, you know, seeing how much the community appreciates it. And when I talk about, you know, our local community and also, you know, the broader community, I mean, we've had people who plan their vacation who live in, you know, in other countries who plan their vacation around coming to Wilmington for the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival. Wow. So, you know, that's just, you know, it, you know, this festival puts Wilmington on the map and you know, and it gives us an opportunity to showcase our city, you know, which is just getting better and better and better all the time. It's a sense of pride. I took the opportunity again to go onto the Clifford Brown Jazz Festival Wikipedia page to look at all of the artists, the past artists who've attended, and it is amazing.
Wow.
I mean, it is such a powerful experience to read down all the names. And one of the things that I find very satisfying is that you have local artists like a Faustina Dixon, you know, on the same night that you may have a Chick Corea, for example, you know, or Ray Jones Avery, or, you know, or some of our Gerald Chain, you know, some of our local artists. You know, a part of the mission of the festival is to bring the Chick Coreas and the Freddie Hubbards and the Stanley Clarks and the Marcus Millers and the, you know, all of those people to the stage, but also to shine the spotlight on our local and regional artists. It's really an important component of the festival.
The inspiration that happens every night on that stage, it is just, it's remarkable. I that's what I'm saying. I can't even describe it fully. And Miss Faustina, I played with the Wilmington Youth Jazz Band, and that changed my life. So like to hear that, how interconnected all these things are, it's just remarkable. And I think the last Clifford Brown, someone said they had come from Hawaii. I remember, you know, they were calling out, you know, different places, and that's just huge. That's absolutely huge for Wilmington.
And then, you know, look at it from the point of view of jazz and how jazz is always evolving. I mean, it's jazz is simply not a static form of art. Every now and then we'll, you know, every now and then over the years, I'm hearing it less and less, thank goodness. But every now and then somebody will say, Clifford Brown would never have played that. It's like, well, we don't know. You know, Clifford Brown was 25 years old, you know, when he tragically and unexpectedly, you know, left us. And I would think that he, you know, he would have been the type of artist who would have continued to evolve and explore, test the limits of his art. I mean, when you look at artists, for example, like a Miles Davis, you listen to an early Miles Davis and then listen to a Miles Davis later in his career, and you can, I mean, the evolution is just astounding. So we try to take that, you know, that concept and program the jazz festival in that way. People understand the diversity of this music. You know, it is not in a box, thank goodness, because if it were, it would die. Mm. And I mean, how many times have you had that discussion? Is jazz dead? Well, no, first of all. And that's because it hasn't been smothered, you know, in a box. You know, it's allowed to breathe and to continue to grow and to diversify and to explore. So that's what we try to do when we're deciding which artists to bring to the festival. And I think when folks take a look at this year's lineup, I think we've been very successful at underscoring that.